Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the Irish Airline Pilots Association is awaiting a response from the Labour Court to questions it asked about proposals aimed at ending its long-running pay dispute with Aer Lingus. The IALPA executive met yesterday evening to consider the proposed deal, which includes a pay increase of close to 18% for pilots over 4 years. Well, I'm joined now by Simon Calder, travel journalist and broadcaster. And Simon, the pilots, we know, as I said, are waiting to hear back from the Labour Court around these issues, the questions that they have. There are a number of things that have to happen before pilots themselves will vote on whether to accept the deal or not. So we're quite away from knowing whether this dispute will be solved.
Yes, and the terrible thing is, Claire, that every single day this drags on, Aer Lingus's brand, its profitability are eroded. And this is in a summer which is looking quite tricky, particularly for Europeans. And that includes people, of course, from Ireland, from GB, heading across to the US and Canada because of the very high costs when you get there. And so every day it goes on, and as you say, quite rightly, they've got to decide exactly what the Labour Court offer consists of and decide if they want to put that to a vote and then vote on it. But so far, we're going up to Sunday now. We've got 548 cancellations, I'm counting, all told. And that is also going to mean that we're getting on for 100,000 passengers who have been told at one of the busiest times of the year, sorry, your flight isn't going anywhere.
So when can Aer Lingus decide what to do past Sunday? Because obviously the passengers who are intending to fly beyond that date are waiting now to see what's going to happen.
Oh, well, quite. And that's what I've been asking Aer Lingus as well, because we've got cancellations up till Sunday. The last tranche of cancellations was made on Friday, and you would expect there to be kind of rolling cancellations going into next week. So far, that hasn't happened. The airline is simply saying that they will obviously contact people if their flight is cancelled, and they will have clearly plans for cancelling flights because the pattern is pretty much the same every day. They're taking out typically 13 round trips, 26 flights in all. But at the moment, there's so much uncertainty that it's very difficult to see who will be buying Aer Lingus tickets fresh at a time, of course, when you have a lot of competition out there and quite a lot of unsold seats. And normally the summer seats would be going at a very high premium.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that and the possible silver lining as a result of all of this, because Michael O'Leary has said that airfares might be lower than they'd planned at Ryanair. I mean, when this is solved, because these things are all ultimately solved, aren't they? Would you expect to see Aer Lingus looking at lower fares to recover some of the business that they've lost?
Oh, almost certainly. I mean, they've absolutely got to stimulate the market. Yes, we had in March, it was Michael O'Leary, chief executive of Ryanair, saying that he was pretty sure fares were going to rise 5 to 10% within Europe because, bluntly, Ryanair hasn't got the same number of Boeing 737s delivered new that it thought it would get. We've now heard from Ryanair that they're not seeing that increase, and that indicates a softening of passenger demand. Yeah, we're just not prepared to pay higher fares. And so, yes, the airline is going to have to do an awful lot to stimulate demand. And at the moment, it is because we're getting into the absolute peak summer in England and Wales. The schools are breaking up in about 10 days from now. And that's when you would be expecting, as Aer Lingus, to be making a fortune, particularly taking people from various parts of GB via Dublin to North America. Mm-hmm. And those bookings aren't coming in at the rate that they might be.
Of course, when this is resolved, the problems mightn't be over for Aer Lingus, because if they do end up agreeing on this pay deal as suggested by the Labour Court, you're looking at close to 18%. Yeah. And you would imagine that there would be other pilots at other airlines in AIG, other staff in those airlines looking at that deal and saying, well, I wouldn't mind a piece of that. Is that likely to happen?
Well, yeah, it's a very, very complex situation right across Europe, actually. And some of it, would you believe, is to do with Brexit, because of the difficulties that the UK insisted on imposing on everybody by saying, right, we're going to have our separate licenses. So the fluidity of movement of pilots, which is normally a really useful thing in Europe, isn't the same because of the barriers that the UK have put up. It is a very, very good time to be a pilot. And if you ever wanted to retrain, I would recommend becoming a pilot, because there's no sign of any reduction in demand for aviation or for pilots. And Aer Lingus throughout have said, look, compared with other pilots, and they're obviously pointing a very big finger at Ryanair, Aer Lingus pilots are fantastically well rewarded, or more to the point, they have very, very good conditions. And it's partly those conditions that Aer Lingus originally said, look, if you want anything over 12%, you're asking for 24%. If you want anything over 12%, that can only come at the cost of some modernisation, some reforms to your terms and conditions.
Mm-hmm. But that, it seems, is not part of this deal, certainly from what we've heard so far, that they won't be asked to change their work practices.
Yeah.
So you'd wonder sorry, Simon, to cut across to you. I mean, would you expect that there would be some sort of contagion if this deal is done at close to 18%, either within Aer Lingus or further afield within the IAG group?
IAG, which owns, of course, British Airways, Iberia, and Vueling of Spain, they managed to keep their pilot groups fairly separate. And I can see that continuing. And for example, over the years, you have had Iberia pilots being extremely well rewarded. And so there might be a bit of contagion. I mean, every time any airline gives its pilots a decent pay rise, then there is going to be naturally a kind of a move towards those airlines. And that might mean that other airlines have to pay a bit more to pilots to get them to stay, to retain them. However, I'm seeing, and obviously from the passengers' point of view, whether you're talking about just in Ireland itself or Europe as a whole, I flew in, for instance, this morning from Germany to Croatia on Ryanair. Ryanair seems to be having, in a really difficult summer for air traffic control delays and storms and things, pretty good reliability. And one reason it's got that is that it's got its crewing ratios very high. In other words, there is lots and lots of slack in the system. And that can only happen if you're paying people a decent amount of cash. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult. Aer Lingus pilots have always been a bit of a special case. They are, of course, the men and women who fly superbly well. And they say that they are helping Aer Lingus to become very profitable after COVID. But I'm afraid every day, as I said at the start, this drags on. Profitability is being eroded, as well as passenger confidence.
Can I return to something you mentioned earlier on, which is really interesting, that market, people travelling from Ireland and the UK, Simon, across the Atlantic to the States, that's not doing well because of the costs you said they're facing when they get there. So how much has that been impacted?
Well, yeah. So I'm talking to tour operators, holiday companies in GB. And they are typically reporting, compared with COVID, about 20% down. And that is not because the British have fallen out of love with the US. It's simply that when you get there, it's so very expensive. As anybody who's kind of a copy and suddenly discovered it costs three times more in Boston than it does in Dublin, and then they expect you to tip a dollar on top of that. Mm-hmm. It is the costs are going through the roof, and that's partly actually hotels and rental cars and so on, partly because they've got really strong domestic demand. So you've got people who are just kind of once bitten, twice shy. They're not going back if they were there perhaps last year. And yes, because Europe is looking relatively affordable for Americans and Canadians coming in eastbound across the Atlantic, Aer Lingus is benefiting from that. But the core business, which Aer Lingus does generally pretty well, of flying people through the Dublin hub, the pre-clear for US border formalities in Dublin, which is worth its weight in gold, frankly, rather than standing in line for 2 hours, that is not doing it.
All right, Simon's line seems to be fading on us there, but we got a good sense of the situation and the lay of the land there. That's Simon Calder, who's a travel journalist and broadcaster, joining us on that ongoing dispute at Aer Lingus.